I used to think that it was a good sermon if I left feeling bad, because I thought it was a good sermon if my toes got stepped on, you know, to bring me back in the right way. But God really doesn't want us to come back to the right way. God doesn't want us to ever live the right way, ever leave the right way. You see what I'm saying? He wants us to abide, not to come back. We do need to come back. But he wants us to learn to abide, to remain in his presence. So when I would hear sermons, now you gotta understand, God designed me to be a preacher. He called me to be a preacher. And the kind that he designed me, and then he called me to lead ministers. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, it's all in his hands, okay? But when I would hear sermons all those years in church, I would think, how do you live? How does one live when you're preaching? I know what I'm doing wrong. Okay, you pointed out what I'm doing wrong. Now how do I do right? Not, we'll just quit doing that, or do this. Because I did those things, but something was wrong in my heart. And I didn't understand, and I wanted it to be different, but no one helped me to understand how to live Jesus. They just told me what I was doing wrong or what I needed to do different, but it was all acts. You understand? Or attitudes. And one thing that I, in the, like the NIV, one place it says, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:1, and it says, be imitators of Christ. God doesn't want us to be an imitator. That's fake. An imitation is a fake. It's a false representation. So I want to just talk about what you said, just because you said it. It was in my notes, just God hasn't let me get there yet. But like in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The word keep, I want you to maybe write these things down because it may help you get another perspective. Dear Holy Spirit, as we talk, as we read, as we think today and listen and hear, we want to hear what you want us to say. We don't want to guide this. We don't want to. We want to be people of faith. We want to mix faith with what we hear.
Yes.
To believe it and move on it. Teach us how to live Jesus. Make your word and your will alive for us today. Thank you, Jesus. We commit this time to you.
Amen.
The word keep means to guard. If you love me, guard my commandments. It means to guard from loss or injury. Properly, by keeping your eye upon it. If you love me, keep your eye upon my commandments. Guard them from loss or injury. Think of Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal, or how, shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then verse 11 after that, if you love, it says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's to hide his word, to keep his word, to keep our eye upon his word in our heart. The word keep also means to note. If you love me, note my commandments. Note them. Make a little asterisk, a little star. Make a special note about them. It also means to fulfill like a command. If you love me, fulfill my commandments. It also means to maintain. If you love me, maintain my commandments. The different ways it's translated is, if you love me, hold fast my commandments. If you love me, keep or be a keeper of my commandments. If you love me, observe my commandments. If you love me, preserve my commandments. If you love me, reserve my commandments. If you love me, watch my commandments. When we think of commandments, we think of the Ten Commandments. I think that's what most people think. They're thinking the rules of to do or not to do. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. We're going to go back to what I felt like I wanted me to talk about today. I didn't want to get off on or comment on or whatever on what Glenn said, okay, on that, because I would love to get to verses 15 to 24, okay, and talk about 15 and then 21 through 24. But have you been reading John 14?
Yes.
Well, let's just read the first six verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither or where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want us to look at verse 1. There's about six words there that we start with. Let not your heart be troubled. Has that gripped anybody when you've been reading? I believe there was a few things that I was meditating or asking God about it. And he said, he gave me so much, and then he just kind of boiled it down to this. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Are we focused on the waves or Jesus? Are we focused on the waves or Jesus? Why does somebody get in trouble?
Because they're not focusing on Jesus.
Okay. Why else does somebody get in trouble? Why do you get in trouble?
Stop believing.
Stop believing. Okay.
So follow orders. So do it the right way first.
But why do we get in trouble in everyday life? Why do we get in trouble? We try to figure it out ourselves.
We take our eyes off Jesus.
This test shows that we do need you.
Okay, but let's get really real. Not just us in this room. Why do people get in trouble?
Because life happens.
I'm sorry?
Because life happens.
Because life happens. Right. Why else do people get in trouble? Think about it.
Because they don't know Jesus.
Because they don't know Jesus. Why else do people get trouble? In the very real world now, why do people get trouble?
Because they're deceived.
Because they're deceived. Why do people get troubled? Why do you get troubled?
Doubt.
Why do you get troubled?
You lose sight of Jesus.
You lose sight of Jesus. How about some ideas like this? All the things y'all are saying are good, but let's get a little more basic. We're not even talking about Jesus for a minute. I want you to understand. I'm talking about, like, if we were a group that's not even about Jesus, why do people get troubled? Because this world is a troubling place. Because everybody doesn't do right. Because people have a wrong focus. People have ulterior motives. Because relationships are the hardest thing we'll ever do.
Amen.
I'm answering the question in a multitude of ways. Why? Because now we know, coming back to the Jesus group, we know that God wants us to learn to depend on Him. But have you noticed when everything's going smooth and you've got enough money and the bills are paid, and have you noticed when things are going better, we have a tendency to kind of get caught up in whatever it is we're doing, that our vacation, our feeling good, our trip, you know, going to whatever it is, Six Flags or what, Michigan Adventure or whatever we do, we get all excited about it and we kind of put God on the back burner. We kind of forget Him. So when we have troubles, it brings us back to our need, and our need is God. Because if you ever look at the book of Judges, a cycle that God taught me back 30-something years ago when He had me take the teenagers through it, is people are in trouble. They pray and call out to God in desperation. They have nowhere else to turn. They've done everything and nothing's working. They're overcome by the enemy. So they pray and call out to God. God sends a deliverer. God somehow delivers them. They begin to thank God, praise God, focus on God. They want the presence of God. So they begin, out of thankfulness and gratefulness, living for God. God starts blessing them. And then they get caught up in the blessing and forget the one who blessed them. Kind of put them in the back seat. Out of sight, out of mind. And then they forget God. And then God is like, you forgot me. You've left me. And they don't even know they left. Like churches, I'm not picking on a church that has a bulletin, don't misunderstand me, but it's something God showed me, is that when people have a program, they don't need God. They've already got it figured out. And they're doing their thing whether the God shows up or not. They've got a whole program to work out. That's what I mean by a bulletin. That's what you and I do sometimes. We set our own plans. We ask God to help us. We ask God to guide us. And then we come up with a program of how to do it. And then we forget to include Him while we're doing the program. We wonder why it didn't work out. There was no life in it. And strife and problems.
Right.
So we go back to the cycle. They forgot God. And then God draws back and says, if you're going to leave me out, see how it works without me. And then the next thing they know, all the blessings they have become empty, and they lose them because they left God out. And now, the enemy overtakes them. And they try everything they can to save it. And it doesn't work. And when they get to a place to where there is nowhere to turn, I dare you, read the book of Judges. Like Gideon, the time of Gideon. When the enemy came in, the Philistines, I believe it was at the time, and they took over Israel, they burned their crops up, people had nothing to eat, there was no grocery store to go to, and there weren't any meat markets, you know, or little mom and pop shops to go to. They had nothing. And they were in desperation. Then they turned to God. And then God walked them out of it. God didn't just quickly deliver them out of it. Because we don't usually appreciate that. So let not your heart be troubled. It's easy for your heart to be troubled. It's easy. Because all we got to do is look around us. All we got to do is listen to other people. All we got to do is listen to the news. They don't report the good stuff. All they want to report is all this bad stuff. And twist the truth to make us believe whatever. And what I'm saying is that we focus on that. They control our lives and take us where they want us to go. Let not your heart be troubled. Are we focused on the waves like Peter stepped out of the boat, walked on the water? But when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and thought on that, the waves. Are we focused on the waves or Jesus? You remember the saying, confusion only comes when we consider anything but what God says. Brother D.B. Day asked me, he said, what did you mean, was it on a Wednesday night, or he said, what did you mean when you said whatever I said? What did I say? Yeah. And every now and then, the devil trips me up and gets my focus onto something besides Jesus and what Jesus has said. Because I have so many things that are coming against me that are not according to what Jesus has said. And most of the time, I'm fine because I keep my mind focused on Him. Right? But somehow He tripped me up and got me thinking about myself, my future, whatever it was. And I kept saying all the right words, but my focus, I was somehow like derailed and stuck in a groove. And I was like down or feeling like this cloud was over me. Anybody ever have that? I just wonder who's honest. And maybe Pat once. Yeah. And you feel like there's a cloud over you. You feel like you're depressed. You feel like you're hopeless. You feel like you're not. Jesus is caring about us, and He says, let not your heart be troubled. You know the word let means to allow? He says, don't allow your heart to be troubled. What do you mean? How am I not supposed to allow my heart to be troubled, God? And He says this, are you focused on the waves, the circumstances, or are you focused on Me? He says, you feel like you're in confusion, you don't understand. Well, confusion only comes when you consider or you think about other things than what I've said. Hey, John, if you might do that, put your hand over your mouth. It helps the rest of us not fall into the He says, I am bigger than any need you have. I am bigger than any need you have. John chapter 10, 28, 29. Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life. Has he given unto you eternal life? And they shall never perish. What does the word never mean?
Never.
I like that one even better. Not ever. The word, what does the word never mean? Never. You know? He says, and they, the ones I've given eternal life to, I gave it to them. They didn't earn it. I gave it to them. And they shall never perish, not ever. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Guess what? People get our attention off of Jesus, don't they?
Yes.
They hurt us. They say bad things. They give us looks. They say things about us, and it comes back to us. We hear about it somehow. He says, no man can pluck you out of my hand. And he said, my Father which gave you to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I don't know if you get that, but we're like double sealed. Jesus said, you're in my hand, and I'm top standing. And he says, and no man can take you out of my hand or the Father's hand.
He also says, it's like raising to you.
That's right. John 10, 28, 29, in my hand. How about Psalm 23, verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now think about it. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We get caught up in the valley of death, the shadow of death. But he says, I walk through it. He didn't tell your brother to stay. It's like that other place where he says that it came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. The things we're going through are a season. Whatever it is, it's a season. We're going to walk through it. But the way we walk through it, he says, the reason that I don't fear, I will fear no evil because thou art with me.
Amen.
Where's my focus? I'm going to practice his presence. Luke 15, 31. You really ought to memorize it. My son or my daughter, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Luke 15, 31. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He says, I will comfort you. I won't leave you. I'll take care of you. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, do you believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, do you believe me yet? He said, don't allow your heart to be troubled. Focus on me, not on the waves. Keep your eyes on me, you keep walking on the water. He said, I didn't say if you keep your eyes on me, the water will go away. He said, you're still going to have circumstances, but you're going to walk on them instead of them overflowing you.
Amen.
And he said, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice that for a Christian, it's only a shadow. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. He says, you're going to walk through because, but you're going to do it by being with me. Remember that God is bigger than the boogeyman. That's the best thing I know that ever came out of VeggieTales. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. It's all scripture. Three words. Come unto me, Jesus says. Come unto me, all you that labor, all you that work, all you that are carrying a heavy load, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, he says. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe in me. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. And in this chapter, verse 27, he says, my peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. He didn't say, peace I love you. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not like the world gives, do I give unto you. Because they give, they take it back, and you know, they find some way to take it back.
Always strings attached.
Always strings, but not with Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. There's all kinds of things I'd like to say, but I think I'm supposed to go to this one, so we'll go to this one. I'm going to just read you some things. Verse 1. Here's some terms of endearment to us. Jesus says, because I care about you, don't let your heart be afraid. He said, you believe and trust in God, so believe and trust in me. He says, do you know who I am? He says, I'm God. I'm your Savior. I'm your best friend. I'm the one you first met to come to God. Or you didn't come to God, there's no man can come to God except through me. He said, no man can come to the Father. He's Father God. I'm Son God. And he says, you believe in him. You trust in him. So believe in me. Trust in me. He says, in my Father's house. He says, look where you're going. You're going to my Father's house. He says, there's many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. There's no secrets with close friends. He says, if it were different, I wouldn't have told you. But I'm telling you how it is. He says, I go to prepare a place. He says, it's going to be built for you. And then notice the words for you in the Old Testament 144 times. For you. I looked it up. Okay? Now, it may say for ye, but it's for you. Okay? Anyway, the idea of for you 144 times in the Old Testament. Verse 3, I go and prepare a place. It's the second time he says it. Specifically designed just for you. Specifically designed. He says, I find out what your favorite things are, because I know you better than anybody. And he says, I'm going to have them in your mansion. I'm building this. He says, this is how much I love you. I'm thinking of you individually, each one of you. I'm going to build a mansion for you. He didn't say, I'll build you a little old cottage. You know, I'll build you a shack. Don't worry. You'll be in heaven, but, you know, you're only going to get a shack. No. I'm going to build a mansion. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, we're close. He says, I count you dear to me. I would tell you if it's different. I'm telling you. He says, do you believe me yet? If it were different, I'd tell you. He said, do you even believe that? Do you even believe that, DBJ? If it were different, I would tell you. He says, in verse 3, he's for us. Oh, that's what it is. I looked up for you and for us. And in the New Testament, it's in there 85 times. 144 times. Now, I bet you can even find more, because I did it fast.
for you, or for us, 144 times. New Testament, 85 times. God's for us, by the way. You get it? He's not against us. He's always for us. He says, I will come again. He said, I'm leaving. He was telling them, I'm leaving, but I will come again. Have you ever felt like he left you? Have you ever felt like that?
Yes.
He says, I will come again. Remember, he's trying to build faith in us. If you were God, how would you do it? If you could see it, you wouldn't need faith. So he has to give us tests. He has to give us little things. My wife calls it this, teach test. Teach test. He teaches us stuff, and we go, yeah, that's really cool. And then he says, now let's test and see if you got it. And it's not just a mind burden saying the right word like American education. He's wanting to find out what you really believe.
Where your heart is.
So he says, I will come again. And he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you can't feel him, he's right here. But I can't sense his presence. That's when you have to believe. Because you're not always going to sense his presence. You are not, it doesn't say we live by feelings. It says we live by faith. We live by faith. Faith is believing what God said and moving on it. It's believing him when you can't see him, when everything around you screams the opposite. Do you believe him? He's, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He wants to build people of faith. Do you want to be believed in?
Yes.
He wants to be believed in. And he's working with us. Have you not told him you wanted him to work in you? To make you like him?
Whatever it takes.
See, I warned you. Don't pray these things if you don't mean it. Because he's going to think you meant it. And then he's going to take him through some hard stuff. Because it's the only way we're going to learn. Start a business. Now, there's no work for you to do. But you got to pay all the bills. And you got to worry about it. But don't let your heart in trouble. How? He said, you ain't going to be able to do it without me.
That's for sure.
He said, you are going to need me more than ever. You thought it was just, start a business, pay bills. It's going to make everything easier. No, it's going to make everything harder. Because I'm growing you up. Stretch. We've said, how much of Jesus do you really want? We've said, how much do you really want to be like him? Like, just a little rusty club Jesus? You know? It's like, no. If you did, you wouldn't stay here. Deep calls unto deep. Thank you, sir. Okay. So let's keep going. He says, I will come again. And watch what he says in this verse 3, and receive you unto myself. He says, John, I'm going to come again to receive you unto myself. Go ahead. To receive you unto myself. Jesus. This isn't an angel. This isn't, Apostle Paul. This isn't Brother Harvey. This is Jesus, God himself, your Savior, your only Savior, the most precious name you know. And he says, I will receive you unto myself.
What a reward.
Do you know what he's saying there? I want you. I want you. He says, then look what he says. That where I am, there you may be also. I want you with me. I don't just want you, I want you.
when Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus, very tenderly, with care, says, you know the way, because I know the way. Now I gotta go back to where those are. You know, it's here. Jesus tenderly and with much care both reminds and instructs them again. Come unto me. I am the way. He says, be with me. Keep your focus on Jesus. Do you know what 1 Chronicles 16:11 says? Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Have you ever heard that before? What a novel thought, huh? Wow. Seek his face continually.
Huh?
Huh?
Almost like focusing on.
Almost like focusing on. Almost like behold Jesus.
Behold.
You know, behold Jesus.
Almost like healing.
And then doing it. In
so you, sir?
Remember doing that in healing.
Yep. So he says, come unto me. I am the way. He says, be with me. Keep your focus on Jesus. Remember where it said, if you love me, keep my commandments? Guard. Keep your eye upon them. Maintain them. Remember? So keep your eye upon Jesus. Peter, don't look at the waves. It's the same waves before you stepped on the boat. It's the same waves that were happening when you were walking on the water. Now why are you saying that, Peter? You were doing great. You took your eyes off of me. Okay, you had a few steps. You want some more? He said, we just got started. You want some more? He said, because I'm not, you can't pray. You can pray and ask me, but I'm not necessarily going to make the waves go away. I'm not going to make it. Okay, Lord, I'll come to you. Would you make the water ice? And he's like, no! This is Jerusalem.
But you are the Red Sea.
He's like, no. He said, what kind of faith would that take? You know?
He's like, Doubting Thomas. He wasn't Doubting Thomas. His focus on him.
Doubting Thomas. He said, except I thrust my hand into his side, you know. And then Jesus appears and says, thrust your hand in my side so that you be believing and not doubting. And he says, my Lord and my God. He said, blessed are those that believe without seeing. So let's come back. So what does Jesus say here? He says, come unto me. He says, I am the way. He said, be with me. Can I ask a question? Three words. Be with me. What's better than that? Okay. He says, be with me. Keep our focus on Jesus. Our focus. My focus, his presence. I heard that somewhere. He says, simply, be where I am. Be where I am. What is Jesus doing in this situation? Where is Jesus with this veil coming in? Where is Jesus with this relationship that I deal with? Where is Jesus in this den of overwhelming noise? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? He says, be where I am. Just simply, be where I am. Stay in my presence. Make sure he's smiling with our choices.
Okay.
He is so easy to please. We don't want to lose Jesus' presence. We don't like life without Him. Make sure He's smiling with our choices. At any minute of the day, dear Holy Spirit, would you please remind me from time to time just to look back up over my shoulder and see if Father's smiling? Is He smiling? Nope, where I'm going, I don't think He's smiling about it. Nope, the way I'm thinking. And you know what? It's not hard.
Right.
Jesus, this is the truth. And I'm really sorry it's the truth. Because I don't want it to be. I break agreement. Remember, James 4:7-8. I break agreement. I don't want that anymore. I want you. But Jesus, this is where I'm at. This is where I am. I want to be where you are, but I can't get there. But you can get me there. Will you come, Jesus, me? Will you come deliver me? Will you come forgive me? Will you come pick me up and take me there? Will you begin to change my mind and my heart, the way I think and feel about this? Because I want to be where you are on this situation. I don't want to justify why I think this way or why I feel this way. I want to say, this is where I'm at, but I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be where you're at. It's that simple. On Wednesday night, I think it was like 9 months, I don't know how long it was. Felt 4 years, but when we were going through the Pride study, the flashlight meetings, dude, every single, of course it was my fault, I'm sure, they all got turned around on me somehow. I don't know, but maybe it's just, I don't know. All I know is they were hard truths to look at. And I kept, and the thing that I got out of it the best was, besides seeing the truth, get off there, smack you sideways.
First of all,
didn't say anything about laying hands on a cat. But anyway, the thought, here's where I'm at. This is the truth. I wish it wasn't the truth. God brought a thought to me, and Sue summed it up in these words. How'd it go? I can't help it because I do want to be noticed. I do want to receive attention. I said, I'm not trying to just do that for that, only for that reason, but I want to be included also. And I said, Lord, I can't even say I don't want to seek my own attention. Because I do. And he said, can you say I don't want to seek my own attention? I said, yeah, I can say that. He said, that's the same truth. I do want to seek my own attention for my own glory. But I don't want to want that. Will you change my heart? And it grieved me that I couldn't even say, I don't want to seek my own attention. Or my own notice. Wish I could think of the word. And it really bothered me. And I said, God, I can't even say the words that I don't want to seek it. Because I do want to seek it. And if I say I don't want to, I'd be lying. And I say, God, I am so sorry, this is where my heart's at. And you know what? Within a few weeks of me praying that every day, one day, I was praying, and I heard myself say, Lord, I don't want to seek my own attention anymore. But I couldn't say that a few weeks before. Now, here's how we live. I'm talking about how to live Jesus. This is the real truth. The bottom, get down to the core truth. Follow me? God, this is what's true. I feel this way. I want this way. I think this way. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. The hardest thing in your life. I dare you to bring it to him this week. I dare you. I'm serious. The hardest thing. I can't quit getting angry. I can't quit worrying about finances. Whatever it is. And you tell him, God, this is the truth. But I wish it wasn't the truth. But it is the truth. But God, I can't change it. I've tried everything and nothing's working. I can do acts of trying to do right. I can try to make myself do right. But it comes back because the root's still there. The seed is still there. God, this is the truth, but I don't want it to be the truth anymore. I break agreement with it. I admit it's wrong, but it is what I think or feel or do. Now, Jesus, if you don't change me, this is going to continue to be the truth. I have no chance of deliverance without you. But I know that you're bigger than the boogeyman. I know that you can do all things. I'm trusting in you. Will you take the hardest thing right now? Right now. Will you take the hardest thing and tell them, this is what's true. I don't even like admitting it because I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm hurting you. I'm ashamed to even admit it's true. But God, this is what's true. This is what's true. But God, it's wrong. And I wish it was not true in me. But it is true in me. But right now, I'm making an eternal choice. I don't want it anymore. I'm drawing a line in the timeline. I'm drawing a line from this point forward. I don't want this anymore to live as you. And I'm inviting you. I'm asking you, I'm depending on you, I'm pleading with you to come and change this in me. Every morning when you wake up, God, this is true, but I don't want it to be true in me anymore. So I break agreement with it, and I'm dependent on you to change it. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to do anything except what I just said. Admit the whole truth. The whole truth. Don't explain, don't justify it. Just a minute, okay? Don't justify it. Don't excuse it. Don't sugarcoat it. Bring it. I was embarrassed to tell this to God. That whole thing of pride. I couldn't even see the pride. I knew there was pride in me, but I couldn't even see it. But God began doing that, and he's done something in me big time. I mean, I'm sure I still got stuff that I don't see. But boy, has he changed me inside. Well, there was a lot to see to get rid of. So I'm glad that you got to see some of that go. I'm looking for the rest of it to go too. But every one of them did that. God, I do not want pride living in me. I don't want to let Satan live his life in me. Any way that he wants to manifest, I do not want to agree with him. So Jesus, this is what's true. I don't want it to be true, but it is true. So I break an agreement with it, and I'm committing it into your hands. And I know you can handle it. Jesus, you're the only one who can. And you know what? It's him. Any victory that I have gotten, I now realize. Because before, in religion, people teaching religion about you doing it, I said to God, and I said to other people, why does he get the glory if I did it? Why am I supposed to praise him if I'm the one who changed? Because the way they taught it, all the burden was on me to do the work. So when I do the work, you know, I go through all the suffering to quit smoking. Okay, I quit. Then why am I supposed to praise God? I'm the one who quit. I'm the one who went through the hard stuff. Because they didn't teach me to defend over God.
Right.
They taught me to try to make myself be like God. If the burden is on me, then I'm doing it. If the burden is on God, then he's doing it. If the burden is on me, I'm trusting in me, not God. If you're feeling the burden, you haven't given it to God yet. I'm not offending, I'm not attacking you, I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you to go, oh, wait a minute, I'm feeling the burden. I must still be carrying this. I haven't given it to God yet.
I don't find offense that I've had some freedom. Because you're pointing out a truth, that's how I find it.
Good. Now you're ready for me.
You said we went to bed gap at your 6 a.m. in the morning, and I was thinking that's powerful and like keeping in our mind, not
right.
Because he needs to be reminded.
Not because he is.
We are reminded, and it's important for our thoughts.
Exactly.
What we're asking God to do.
We're not saying it every morning because he forgot overnight. No.
And you gotta do it 23 times.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You don't have to say it 23 times or whatever. And then, oh, God's like, oh, I got it now. Okay, I'll put it on my list. Okay. Now that you've reminded me 23 times. So. No! You're doing it because you make an eternal choice. And he taught me this years ago. He said, you make an eternal choice, but then every day, you say it again for your own self, not for him, because you're reminding you, this is my choice that I've already made. This is my choice. This is where I'm going to live.
The fervent prayer.
Right.
Like the petitioning, not because God needs to be asked over and over, but because it's like how important it is to us to keep it.
Exactly. And what about that passage? Where is it? Luke 11 about the woman that went to the unjust judge. And because of her importunity, what does that word mean?
Persistence.
He said, though I fear not God nor man, but because this woman won't leave me alone, I'm going to get her what she wants. But God is like saying, do you really want it? Then you need to remind yourself. You don't just give it to me and then just live any way you want. He said, this is you and me working together. He said, because I got to work it out of you, but I have to have your free will, but you're not holding on to it again and reaching back and grabbing it. He said, I'm not looking to do a tug of war with you. He says, I can deliver you from. He said, but do you really want it? Is this really your choice? I'm just letting, feel like it was what God wanted me to say, because it's how to live Jesus. How to live Him. Let me just make sure I said all these words. I think I did. Oh. So, Thomas doesn't know where Jesus is going, and he doesn't know how to get there. Think about it. Jesus, here's God in the flesh living with you. You're hanging out with him for 3.5 years. Nobody's ever talked like this guy. He's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. He's walking on water for crying out loud. He's feeding countless numbers of people, 25,000 people with a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. I don't care how thin something slices it. That just ain't enough to go around. You know what I mean? And here he just says, give me what you got. Father, will you bless this? And he's like, watch this. And then, dude, 25,000 people get fed. It said 5,000, but that was just men. Then we got one woman and two kids. And they usually had a lot more than two kids. But also, there's usually a lot more women than men. Got a weird church, but we got more men than women. You know, but any church you go to always has more women than men. Because women are more sensitive and tender toward God. Us men are wired with knucklehead.
And we
nag him, so Thomas says, I don't know where you're going, Jesus. What do you mean you're gonna leave us? I don't want you to leave us. I gave up my life to walk with you. You're going somewhere? I don't know how to get there. And he says, Jesus doesn't rebuke him, doesn't straighten him out. Jesus is very tender and with much care. He reminds and instructs him again, come unto me. I am the way. Be with me. Keep your focus on Jesus. Simply be where I am. Stay in my presence. Now, I'm reminding you, make sure he's smiling with our choices every day. At any moment of the day, can you look over your shoulder and go, he's smiling? If not, whoop, Father, Father, what did I do? Father, what needs to be different? I remember when you got mad at that person, and you're like, thinking vengeance toward him. You know? And you said, okay, well, I don't want to kill him, Lord. I just kind of wish they might get a flat tire or something. He's like, you left me. He's like, I kept walking and you stayed back there. Wanted to hurt somebody. So, is he smiling with our choices? Because guess what? We keep having people come in and out of our lives, and that's hard. I would do just fine if God had one for people. I really would. I'd do really good if God did one for other people. Really fine. You know? I tell you, I remember when we had the building, we go to our church, that I'd be prayed up and everything would be good, and then this one particular person, it was you. There was a number of them, but this one particular person, they would come into church, and they would come over to me 10 minutes before the sermon and start just dumping their life out. All this stuff. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm about to preach, you know what I mean? It's not the right time. Like, and I'd sit there and I didn't know what to say or do. And I got to a place where I said, if you would like to talk after, well, they didn't want to talk after. They just want to come and unload right before church and then leave soon church over, and then you never see them for the rest of the week. And I'm like, I'm sorry. this isn't going to work for us. So now I understand why they, why preachers don't come out until it's time to preach, or people keep them away from it. Because it's hard. People come up and just start talking to you about some of the things. Talk to me after. You know, get together at another time. Don't do it.
Plus that takes you somewhere where you're...
And that's what I'm saying. I would do just fine if it wasn't for people. Like you said, pretty much in this presence, it wasn't for people. You know? Their attitudes, man, I gotta forgive them. I gotta push and deal with that. I want to do things to them. And then I have to repent. And then I have to pray. And then I have to forgive them. And then I have to forgive me. I gotta go this whole, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, can I just live in a bubble, you and me? And he's like, that doesn't work. See what I'm saying? I mean, we all go through the same thing. I'm not trying to be real, make fun of here, but. So he says, stay in my presence. Simply be where I am. Jesus, I can't even imagine your job, Steve. You know, person to person, standing in line at Speedway, you know, and just doing that.
But he does it so awesome.
I know. See, it's like, I hear it. I'll call, ask, talk to him on the phone. So they put the phone up by him, and I hear him go through a couple of cousins so he can talk to me. And I'm listening, going, oh man, this is so cool. I like this dude. Make sure he's smiling with our choices. He's so easy to please. Your Father is so easy to please. We don't want to lose Jesus' presence because we can't handle life without it.
Amen.
That's what we got to do, is keep his presence. Okay? Psalm 16:11. And we're going to end there, I think. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Whither you go, we don't know. And how to get there, we don't know. He says, Psalm 16:11, God will show us the path of life. Every time you go talk to somebody, there's a path of life and a path of death. The path of death is getting angry, going down where they're talking, thinking, letting them take your mind to the garbage pile.
Right.
Follow me?
Right.
And then there's a path of life. God, help me to see this person. You know, can I tell you a secret of what Sue and I do when we go to talk to y'all? Especially if we're going to counsel.
Right.
While you're talking, we say to God, God, help me to hear what they're saying in your spirit. Help me to hear in the spirit while we're talking. Because you're saying all these words. Have you ever wondered why when you're talking to Sue, she comes up with this wonderful wisdom? Because she's not letting you take her. You're wanting her to feel sorry for you where you're at. And she can care where you're at, but she's hearing the whole truth. Right now they're in self-pity. Right now they're missing something because they're the ones that's actually hurting the person, but they're one pointing at the other person. And God's like helping us, but he doesn't have us, you know, rah-rah-rah. We're still hearing and then speaking in the spirit of God. So God, help me to hear in spirit while they're speaking in the natural. See what I'm saying? Thou wilt show me the path of life, Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy, which is where we will live. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Evermore. Pleasures forevermore. This is true in my life, but I don't want it to be true anymore. I'm making a choice right now for eternity. I'm breaking agreement with this. But Jesus, I'm still chained to it. Jesus, it still intertwined into my thinking, into my heart, into my choices, into my life. Would you come and deliver me?
Yes.
Yes.
And then every day, you pray that again. Not because you need to pray it again for his sake. You're reminding yourself of your eternal choice.
Exactly. Gave it to his point.
That's right. He'll do it. It will go quicker if you keep praying it. Not because you need it. It's not repetition of prayer. And I'm talking about only doing it one time in the morning. But it's to remind yourself, I made this choice. I haven't got the victory yet. God, I need you desperately.
Always.
It's so that you will remind yourself to depend on him. It's so you remind yourself you can't do it without him. It's to remind yourself of your predicament, of where the devil had you trapped. He has the keys and opens and no man shuts, and he shuts and no man opens. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion or power or authority or victory over you. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have victory over you. It's because Jesus has the keys. Romans 6:14.